I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. This is from 9 to 11 o'clock every weekday. Your safe space for independent thinkers, for all of you out there that said, I just want to hear the news. I don't want some kind of Republican or Democrat spin on it. Just tell me the truth. Here you go. I'm giving it to you every day for a couple of hours. Today's Friday, so next hour we will go to my regular segment on Fridays, which is called False Flag Friday. And I believe, looking at the landscape of things right now, we're living through two of the biggest ones we've ever seen, and they're being perpetrated on the American people. I personally, I don't know about you, but I'm getting PTSD from the coronavirus case numbers. The hysteria, the return of the hysteria. They gave us about 2 weeks. I think they knew they were going to drive us absolutely insane. We were going to actually crack. And they gave us about 2 weeks of the idea that this thing was slowing down before they have started hitting us again with these relentless case numbers, even as the hospitalizations steadily decline, the death count steadily declines. If you look at a chart of deaths from COVID-19, you will see it's going down exactly like we would hope it would, but that's not stopping them. So the question is, what's behind that? We'll get to that. And then the other, what is essentially a false flag, a protest movement probably justified in the wake of George Floyd's death and casting a light on what is a real issue, which is police misconduct. In my opinion, it is the over-policing of America that has led us to this. It is not the fact that that we need to abolish policing across the board. Policing needs to be reformed. The laws need to be reformed. Our politicians, our political structure needs to be reformed. We need a whole lot of reform in this country, but obviously this movement has been hijacked. I've got a really great clip from a woman who was she lived in Venezuela. And she's got a warning for the people of America. We've heard these kinds of things before. It's a short, succinct thing. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll finish up today's show with a look back at the lunacy of the last week. There's always plenty of that these days. The Saharan dust is upon us, apparently, which I find absolutely fascinating. Something else funky to add to 2020. But apparently, when you look into the skies today and you see that hazy, that is actually sand from the Saharan Desert. What is that, 10,000 miles away? So it's pretty fascinating stuff that we're under this. They say if you've got breathing conditions, this might not be the best time for you, but I got to tell you, I mean, I don't know that dust in the high atmosphere is going to affect that many people. But anyway, it is strange times we live in for sure. Getting through today, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about flag stuff. The Mississippi flag is not long for this world, I don't believe. It looks like it is inevitable that it's going to change now. I'm a little agnostic about the flag. If you have a particular opinion here, it's kind of an odd thing to watch. I'm a bit of an observer on the flag. Not that I don't love Mississippi and have spent most of my life here, but I don't have strong ties to the Confederacy or these kinds of things. And also, flags to me a lot of times get too much focus rather than the underlying things of the flags, particularly when it comes to the American flag, and we're going to get to some of that too as well today. I'll go ahead and get this out of the way. And first of all, let me say, at any time you listen to this show, because what I talk about on this show as I take on the Republican Party, and look, it's getting more difficult, I got to tell you. The Democrats and the left in this country right now, as we'll see when I finish up today's show with a look at the lunacy of the last week, the left and the Democrats are almost going to force me to become a Republican again or to start supporting the Republican Party. I hate the idea of the lesser of two evils that we find ourselves in. But at this point, The left, and to the left, to you leftists out there, understand, you are pushing people who don't even want to be Republicans. Some people that are maybe liberal and don't want to be conservative. You're pushing them in that direction, with the direction you're trying to take your movement in. And hopefully you'll be successful in that, in pushing enough people to stop your movement. It's gotten so insane. But this show is largely about corruption. This is a different kind of show. It is not all red team versus blue team stuff here. I don't care where I find corruption, and I have got my teeth into the corruption in one of Trump's appointees right now, of Jay Clayton, who has been the head of the SEC after coming from a defense firm that represented Wall Street's biggest clients, Goldman Sachs. And this is important stuff. I've got 2 hours on the air every day. You got 22 other hours during the day to discuss everything that is Nancy Pelosi and Obama holdovers and the Flynn case and what some nut job on CNN said. You got 22 hours a day for that. This is to try to plug a little hole in what most people's understanding of the world, and particularly politics, is, to underscore exactly what we're dealing with as a system. Even if the Republicans gain total control of the government, as they have many times and failed to deliver, it does not change the structure of the system, which is the revolving door between corporate America. We haven't seen capitalism in this country for decades now. And Jay Clayton is just such a shining example. While he's kind of in the news, and if you didn't listen to the show yesterday, I'll tell you, Jay Clayton has been the head of the SEC. Before he took over the SEC, he made over $7 million a year in the main Wall Street defense firm, meaning his clients were the big Wall Street players. And then, unfortunately, Donald Trump put him in charge of those Wall Street players, his former clients. Now he is supposedly the police force of. That's the revolving door, and it's corruption at its levels. Now, Jay Clayton is set to take over in the Southern District of New York's U.S. Attorney's Office, although he has no prosecution experience whatsoever. He is a Wall Street defense attorney, and he is being put in charge of the office that is supposed to prosecute Wall Street. This was some congressional testimony, and again, I start this with saying I am not a Democrat. I'm also no longer a Republican, but I am somebody who can sniff out corruption in both of these parties, and I do report on it. So I'm sorry to any of you who are committed partisans on either side of this who just refuse to acknowledge the crimes of your own team. We have to do both. If you're on the right, and I get it, the left has lost their mind, then you do need to face down the left, okay? They've lost their mind. They seriously are trying to get us into socialism and communism and hate and race baiting and all of the terrible things the left is doing right now. So that's one task you have. The other is to start holding your own side accountable and rooting out the corruption, the thing that Donald Trump campaigned on, which is the swamp. Jay Clayton is one of the swamp creatures, unfortunately, that Donald Trump has brought in. They tried to ask him in a congressional hearing the other day why he wants to go, or when he knew with this firing of Jeffrey Berman in the Justice Department on last Friday night, you know, when he decided he was going to take the job, when he told the Trump administration he wanted to take the job, and he just, you can tell by his non-answer that this guy is not telling the truth.
First, when did you first discuss the Southern District job with the president or the Trump administration, and who did you discuss it with? Attorney General Barr?
Look, I'm here as the chairman of the SEC to discuss the work of the SEC. What I can say is that, as I said in my opening statement, that I need to go back to New York. We're both from New York.
Okay, but I was just asking for it.
Now, let me do this, too, if you didn't hear the show yesterday. Currently, within this Justice Department office in the Southern District of New York, they are currently investigating and attempting to prosecute Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan for rather large financial crimes. When I hear a Wall Street defense attorney, which is what Jay Clayton actually is, he's SEC chairman right now,
so that he can cover up and allow them to get away with whatever they want to get away with, so there's no enforcement from the SEC level. When he says, I need to get back to New York, I'll tell you right now, what I hear is, I need to get back to New York so I can defend these banks that paid me millions of dollars over the year. That's why I was sent to Washington, D.C. in the first place.
Timeline. When did you discuss it? Just give me the approximate date, the timeline.
What I want to say is, this is something I've been talking about for a while, consulting with people as to whether this would make sense for me to continue in public service.
Again, he's been talking to people to whether it makes sense for him to continue in public service. He was making over $7 million a year. He went into public service making, I would just imagine the SEC chairman's salary is somewhere around $200,000 a year. Do we actually believe that this guy is such a patriot, such a giver? He's been defending Wall Street firms, trying to keep them from being held accountable for really tremendous damage to the U.S. economy and really tremendous theft of the American people and our way of life by these globalist corporations. He's been defending them, but he just all of a sudden had this altruistic heart that he decided, oh, I need to go do some public service. Do we actually believe that?
This was first raised to the president and the attorney general last weekend. It's something that I had wanted to do. And they first became aware of it last weekend.
Okay. Thank you. And did you know that Mr. Berman did not want to leave his job in the Southern District when you agreed to accept the nomination? In other words, did you know he was going to be fired to make room for you instead for the job?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that here.
Okay. If you are eventually confirmed by this.
All right, she goes into some other rather annoying questions. That is a Democrat asking the question, but I just want you to hear corruption as it is happening. Now, I'm not saying this is Donald Trump is setting this whole thing up. I believe William Barr is involved in this because I believe William Barr is a deep state player, contrary to what a lot of people believe. But this is a guy. This is the same kind of stories I do during the Obama administration when they move people from Monsanto into the FDA. When a lot of people are concerned about glyphosate causing health problems to people, suddenly you find the top attorney for Monsanto moving into the Food and Drug Administration to approve things like Monsanto. It's the revolving door. It's a real problem. When I come back, I got to take a break real quick. But when I come back, I'm going to play another clip from another questioner to Jay Clayton at this thing. And I want you to listen to the way she starts her presentation, and then I'm going to tell you, you won't be surprised who her biggest campaign contributions are. This is the kind of investigative work that you get right here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Americans just need to learn how to walk and chew gum at the same time. We can do one or the other. We don't seem capable of doing both. And this is why I'm doing this kind of topic on my show today with all of the stuff going on. We're going to get into more topical news. Here's what we're good at. We're good at joining a team, voting for that team, and letting that team abuse us. Right and left, Republican and Democrat. For you Democrats out there, Barack Obama led you straight through the largest gap in wealth inequality, maybe in this nation's history. Maybe during the Gilded Age in the early 1900s, maybe it was worse, but I'm not sure. It's pretty bad. The unrest in the streets is an economic phenomenon as much as it is a racial or police phenomenon. And nobody said boo to Barack Obama. You kept believing. You just thought if you just voted for some more D's. Nancy Pelosi, ditto. She did the same thing. Chuck Schumer is a darling of Wall Street. You can keep electing these D's But if you don't hold them accountable, now I don't, you know, I mean, I don't want the left to get what they actually want. But it's both the right and the left. Republicans are very good about joining their team and keeping Mississippi red. Right? You got two Republican senators. You've got majority Republican legislators. You've got Republican Congress, you know, national congressmen. But you don't hold them accountable for anything. I mean, Cindy Hyde-Smith and Roger Wicker, that may be absolutely wonderful people, but how's everything going there? I mean, are you really happy with the performance of the U.S. Senate? So Republicans don't hold anybody accountable, and it's because you're so busy fighting the other side. I understand that. That's the walking. Chewing gum is holding them accountable when they get there, telling Republicans, we're going to primary your butt. You got one term, you know, if you're in the House, maybe two terms. Give them three terms. Give them 6 years. But if they slide right into this establishment Republican stuff, they're coming home. That is the side that is missing when it comes to Republicans. You have got a decent platform on some things, but you don't hold anybody accountable for doing it. You let them come and pander to you about removing Obamacare or reducing the national debt, not spending our children's inheritance. You let them come pander to you about the middle class and then you just see the middle class wither on the vine for decade after decade after decade. So what I'm pointing to is some of this corruption that is going on within the Republican Party that needs to be curtailed. And Jay Clayton is a deep state elitist globalist that is head of the SEC chair, and he is moving over to the Southern District of New York now so that he can protect the Wall Street criminals, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan particularly right now. Now, I thought this was just funny and just a little illuminating. This is, and again, I am not a Democrat. I am not a leftist. People have got to grow up. We've got to be able to find some nuance and understand that people who investigate things, they just report on corruption when they find it. It doesn't mean that they love the other side. If you criticize Trump in today's world, I'll see people, oh, you must have just loved Hillary then. Oh, you're just some butthurt liberal? No. No. You don't have to be one or the other. You can just look for the truth in things. Anyway, I find this almost funny. So this is Ann Wagoner is about to question Jay Clayton. And he's there to testify about SEC issues. He's not there to testify about taking this job in the Southern District of New York. But you just heard a Democrat question him, you know, when did you decide you wanted this position? When did the Trump administration know you wanted this position? Look, the way it seems to go down for me, and I talked yesterday about Jay Clayton moving into this position. This is the same Southern District of New York is also investigating the Epstein situation. And apparently this Jeffrey Berman, and he may not be a good guy. I'm not saying that he is. I don't really know enough about him. He may be one of these bad people in the Justice Department. Hell, Brent, I'm bringing Donald Trump down. I don't know. But he was making a lot of noise just in recent weeks about getting Prince Andrew to come testify about the Jeffrey Epstein thing, and suddenly he's gone. Now, for Republicans out there, if that happened under a Democrat and Jeffrey Epstein case was still unresolved, you'd smell a rat. Well, see, I don't have to carry water for any party, so I smell a rat. Anyway, this is a Republican Congresswoman Ann Wagoner from Missouri, and I want you to listen to her approach to Jay Clayton, and then I will tell you who her biggest campaign contributors are.
I recognize the gentlelady from Missouri, Ms. Wagoner, for 5 minutes.
I thank the chair, and I thank you for joining us today in person, Chairman Clayton, to discuss U.S. capital markets during this pandemic. And I just want to say, for the record, I have always and worked very closely with you in your office and found you to be a person of incredible integrity and character and highest of ethics. So I want to thank you for that. And I am sure that you will continue to comport yourself in such a way. I have great confidence in you.
Okay, so I saw that. I wasn't even looking for this. I was looking for those first questions that I played, but the video was still playing as I was doing something, and I heard her, and I thought, wonder what I'll find there. This is Ann Wagoner. She's got the nameplate in front of her, Mrs. Wagoner. So I had to actually do a search. I didn't recognize her. She's not a big player, but this is the House Finance Committee. So I thought, let's check out Ann Wagoner. She's really fond of Jay Clayton. great integrity, completely honest, just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. So I went and I looked at Ann Wagner. She's a Republican from Missouri. Again, if you're just tuning in, I am not a Democrat. I am a searcher of truth and a rooter outer of corruption and back dealing in Washington, D.C. She's a representative, Republican representative from Missouri. And I went to opensecrets.org, which is just a great tool for this show and should be for you, too, if you want to know who contributes what. Guess which? Now, again, Jay Clayton has been a defense attorney for Wall Street, making millions and millions of dollars a year, and now he's at the SEC essentially protecting these global corporations. It's not the first time this has happened either. Let me say that. This was going on during the Obama administration. Obama's entire cabinet was picked from, not entire, there may be a couple that weren't on the list. Citigroup picked Barack Obama's cabinet overall. This happens in every single administration. I just don't let it go by on this show, and I want to make sure people understand. Anyway, Ann Wagner, top contributor. What industry is her top political contributor? Securities and investments. That's her number one contributor. So it is no wonder that Ann Wagner is really tickled pink with a guy who is essentially a Wall Street crony. Her top industries are securities and investments, insurance, retired, and then real estate. But securities and investment is by far and away her largest campaign contributor. So she is a Wall Street firster. Now, I find it also interesting if you go down on Open Secrets, and this one always kind of cracks me up for all of you out there who open up your checkbooks to give money to politicians just to know what kind of sway you have with them. I like to tell you what the percentage of small individual contributions are to these people. The amount of money that she raises from the average American is 4.46% of all the totals that she raises, meaning the bulk of it comes from her top contributors are large individual contributions. That's 51% of her money. Then she gets into PACs and then some category other, which is even higher than small individual contributions. She gets 4.4% of her money from small individuals. This is chronically the case throughout Congress. I've reported on this before. Some of our Mississippi people, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but some of our Mississippi people, their ratios are even worse. In small contributions, individual contributions, the mom and pops out there who want to support somebody that send the little $50 or $100 checks to a campaign because they want to support them. Within Mississippi, I've seen the percentages around 1.5% to 2% of their money. It's a rounding error. And this is the structural problem with our political system, which is these Congress critters in both parties raise their money from special interest groups. And the average person is down in the single digits in influence with these congressional creatures. Anyway, this is the walk and chew gum. Elect all the Republicans you want to. I believe that Republicans have got to maintain some control of Congress right now as nuts. If the left will calm down, I'd be happy to see it totally gridlocked and, you know, one person can have one part and the other. They can fight with each other for forever. The left has gone so nuts now, it's like you can't even give them an inch. Congratulations, left. You've turned me almost into a Republican again. You're so bad. But at the same time, holding your elected representatives accountable is where everybody falls down. You keep electing them. It is staggering to watch that Congress and incumbents have a 20% approval rating across the board in our political world, yet they are reelected at 90% rate for incumbency. That's where we're losing the narrative there. That's where we're losing the game. If you want to know what the reason for the problems, get to the core of the problems in this country, that is probably one of the biggest ones. We're real good at joining a team. We're real good at voting for an R or a D. But once they get in, there's no accountability from them because you're just trying to protect from the other side taking control. It's got us where we are right now. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You know, listening to the news break just then, I don't know, how do you operate a restaurant? How do you staff it? How do you order food? I've been in the restaurant business. I did 14 years, I believe, in the restaurant management business. Started out as a waiter, moved to a bartender, became a manager while I was in college. And then was transferred to a bigger restaurant as a manager, and I took off. My first early career was in restaurant management. I know what it takes. I know how hard it is to run a restaurant. I hear these things about they're slowing down restaurant reopenings. They're changing the rules on them because of these new coronavirus cases. And it's not just restaurants. It's just I have that soft spot in my heart for them. How do you operate a business not knowing whether or not you are going to be open for business next week or tomorrow? There is no way that small businesses can navigate this. Big businesses, they're fine. The Federal Reserve will pump them as much money as they want to. Essentially, they can be on life support indefinitely now, according to our Treasury Secretary and our Federal Reserve Chairman. They said they have unlimited money to print. The problem is small locally owned businesses do not get that money. Now, some of the big national chains, too, have been gorging on this debt for so long that a business downturn over the last couple of months, we're seeing Chuck E. Cheese filed for bankruptcy, I think yesterday. But a small business owner having to try to navigate, I can't even imagine what they are going through on a daily basis. There are going to be restaurants across the country that finally get excited. They reopen. They get a couple of weeks. They've got food stocked. Business is picking up. And all of a sudden, these politicians come in and say, nope, we've changed our mind. You can only do takeout. You can only have a quarter of the people. I mean, you cannot operate a business in this. This is going to lead to wholesale devastation of small locally owned businesses across this country if we do not regain our heads and just understand that there's a bug going around. And if you're vulnerable, you might need to stay home or listen to the Mike Madison Show and learn how to boost your immune system. But this is a Chinese water torture to these small businesses across the country, and it is unnecessary, unwarranted, and I don't know how it's constitutional, to be honest with you. I don't know how there are not going to be challenges to what's going on with this authoritarianism of the governors and mayors around this country right now. I don't understand the Supreme Court ruling. I don't understand any of these things. I was talking to my consigliere attorney, and I was just asking, how is it in this country, you know, we just had the Supreme Court ruling that now transgenders can be a protected class in this country. You cannot fire somebody for being transgender. I don't understand why you can't fire somebody for just being anything, a jerk. If you are a business owner, if somebody comes in with a hairstyle you don't like, it feels to me like you should have the freedom to fire them. If employees have the freedom to accept or reject a job, they don't have to work any particular place, then why do business owners not have the ability to fire? Now, listen, I don't support any business owner who's just a giant jerk and just willy-nilly fires anybody, but I know the free market takes care of people like that. Constant staff turnover will decimate your business. You cannot run somebody that is that poor a manager of people, that might fire somebody for a hairstyle or a skin color or a whatever. Their business is not long for this world. You can't operate a business profitably like that. You need a good core staff. You need to develop employees. You don't need to be firing a lot of people. That's the job of management, is to groom and to create productive workforce. But at the same time, I cannot imagine that we live into a country, in a country where, imagine you have a hostess of your restaurant. You got a very nice restaurant. It's coat and tie or just a, you know, a nice, classy place. And suddenly your maitre d' comes in wearing a dress with razor stubble and a wig. And to tell that business owner, that restaurant owner, that the person that represents your restaurant at the front door suddenly changes gender and maybe does it poorly, that you have to leave that employee at the front of the house to represent your business to everybody that walks in when they are not representing what you were cultivating as your restaurant. And this is the same for anything. I don't care if it's a car rental place. If you don't want somebody who is transitioning, running your front desk and interacting with your customers, then it seems to me that's your right. How in the world have we gotten to a spot in this country where it is constitutional to force an employer to retain an employee that is not consistent with that company's culture? It's just, on its face, it doesn't seem possible in a free country that you're forced to retain an employee for any reason. If a company wants to only hire black people, that is that company's right. And as bad as I may want to work for that company, if the owner decides that he's going to take his time and his capital and he's built a business and he only wants African-American staff, and I come in, as bad as I might want the job, if he doesn't want to hire me, tough noogies to me. Maybe it's unfair. Maybe I can sulk about it a little bit. And maybe that business owner is making a poor choice by not hiring the best, but hiring on skin color. But I would support his right to hire only black people if he only wants black people. If a company wants to only hire blonde-haired people or red-haired people, or short people, or tall people, or skinny people, or fat people, if you have a business, how in the United States of America do you not have the right to staff your business with whoever the hell you want to staff it with? The best business owners will make decisions based on qualifications of employees, capabilities of employees. Those are the kinds of things that advance your company. But not all business owners are smart. Some of them are dumb. Or maybe there's a method to their madness that they only want to hire short people. Maybe they want to make their customers feel special by being taller than the staff. I mean, the possibilities are endless. But how in the world, in the United States of America, do we live in a country where the Supreme Court weighs in and tells you who you may not fire as an independent business? This smacks of, and I asked my attorney friend, and he said, well, that's what they've decided. That was not satisfactory to me. It didn't, you know, nine people in robes deciding something doesn't seem to circumvent to me the idea that in America you're free to start a business, you're free to close a business, you're free to staff a business with whoever the hell you want to staff it with. And it seems like it's one of these things that has just come down from on high, and we all just go, oh, well. I mean, people are gnashing their teeth about Gorsuch weighing in. He's supposed to be this conservative Supreme Court judge, and he has now affirmed this right of transgenders to not be fired, that they're a protected class in the workforce. People are gnashing their teeth about it, but we go on with, about our business. The horse left the barn on this a long time ago, and we accepted this Title IX in the first place. I don't know how that's constitutional. We are getting fewer and fewer choices over our lives. This is the libertarian side of me that realizes that, you know, these endless regulations, this endless pronouncement from a large federal government is just a disaster. Between what's going on with COVID right now and some of these rules and regulations from the federal government on who you can hire and who you can fire and all of these other things, I got to tell you, the swan song of the small business owner is upon us if we do not make some drastic changes and make them soon. I'll be right back. All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, only a couple minutes left in this hour. We're going to move on to our regular Friday segments next hour. I had really planned on. I've got stuff on the flag, Mississippi flag, and also the U.S. flag. Donald Trump proposed to senators at the Tulsa rally. He looked over at the two U.S. senators from Oklahoma and said, you really ought to put in a law where it's a 1 year in jail. If you're caught burning the flag, 1 year in jail. I'd be interested to hear what people think about that. I'll save that probably for another day because I'm thinking about this protected classes thing that we have created in this country where some people have more rights than others when it comes to the workforce and how counterproductive that actually is for the people in these protected classes. And I'll tell you what I mean. If you set yourself up as a protected class in the workplace where you essentially cannot be fired, employers know that you are a liability time bomb. For instance, the charges of racism, if you are a business owner and you're looking to hire somebody and you've got two candidates come in that are equally weighted, equally capable, equally qualified, but one of those two candidates is of a racial group or some minority group which has more rights, more legal challenges to being fired than the other one, you are going to be shut out of the workforce. Because an employer can make a decision based on qualifications upon hiring. But if he's got two equal people, but he knows one of them is either gay or black or any protected class that's put out there, they understand, well, if I go with this person, if it doesn't work out and I have to fire them, then I'm probably looking at a lawsuit. Now, I don't know if this is news to anybody. I have hired a lot of people, and I've never really had that kind of a decision to make before. The types of hiring I've done were probably not, you know, I hired a lot of entry-level employees, not as many like career people, in a lot of jobs where there's some employee turnover, so it wasn't as big of a deal. But if you're looking to hire somebody for a career, once you make it into one of these protected classes, imagine if you're black or if you're gay, where you can sue for discrimination if you get fired, because a lot of times white people, black people, gay people, straight people get fired all the time for poor job performance. But an employer knows going in, when he's making hiring decisions, he says, well, if I hire the straight white guy, if it doesn't work out, I fire him and there's really not a whole lot they can do about it. Now, there's all kinds of, you know, people will sue for anything, so they may make up something. But it's not the slam dunk that if you hire some minority class, and employers look at this, and my point being that all of these groups that are demanding all these extra rights, it's actually counterproductive to you. You're actually making your job opportunities worse. Because employers know if you're of a protected class, if they pull the trigger and they hire you, they are stuck with you. If you turn out, if you flame out, if you turn out to be a terrible employee or a troublemaker, then they can't get rid of you. And so they end up hiring the less litigious bet, the unprotected class, because they know at least they'll have the ability to fire them when the time comes, should it come. And it's fascinating to watch this kind of as an outsider observing it, because I'm not in a protected class. And just realizing, and again, you know, these kinds of things, I don't want to keep talking about libertarianism, but it is at the core of these things. It is the idea that the government, that politicians, that policies should dictate all kinds of little parts of the economy, of society. You want to carve out little groups here and there. It's all under the idea that we want to protect. The politicians tell you, we want to protect these groups. Have gay people been discriminated against? Absolutely. Black people? Absolutely. In some cases, white people, short people. You may not have noticed, I am currently not playing in the NBA and have never had a career in the NBA. I attribute that to being short and white. I live with that. I adjust and I pursue something else. I'm not saying discrimination doesn't happen. I'm not saying there's bad employers out there who fire willy-nilly or have personal problems with somebody who fire. I've worked for bad people. I've worked with bad people. We all have. You will never solve that problem. But putting yourself in a protective class assures that finding a job is going to be that much harder for you. If you've already got a job and you're considering transitioning from one sex to another, the Supreme Court ruling may be a real boon to you. But I would think for a whole swath of the people, employers are going to be on the lookout for this. It's going to make it harder for people to get jobs in the first place. If you understand what I'm saying, you're actually marketing yourself. You're making it more difficult to hire you. You're making it more difficult for you to find a career by asking for all these little protections. And I'm so sick of these politicians trying to fix your problems for you, tell you that they're the great savior because employers are all bad. They're just greedy. They're greedy capitalists who want to exploit their workers. Look, business owners want to make their business run. They want to make it run efficiently. They want to make it run successfully and profitably. That's their main goal. If you are black or gay or short or tall or Asian, they don't care. The vast majority of employers do not care. If you can help them become a successful, profitable business, they want you. Is that every business? No. There are jerks out there, and they usually run the worst businesses, and they don't make profits, and they're not long for this world. They extinct themselves by bad human resources policies. But trying to force every employer into some accepting some protected class is actually counterproductive to all of those classes that are protected. You are hurting yourselves, and the politicians are pandering to you. They're giving you a bad solution to what you see as a problem. And it's this micromanagement of everything that leads to these bad outcomes. And I really believe it's things like that that are leading to anger in the streets, and it will continue as long as we keep down this course. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. It's Friday, so in the second hour of every Friday show, I got a couple little segments I do here, the first one being False Flag Friday. And what False Flag Friday is about, typically is about usually kind of military operations throughout history that have happened to trick people into going to wars. United States has been especially bad about this over the past 80 years, whether it has been Gulf of Tonkin that led us into the Vietnam War, which didn't actually happen, the USS Liberty that tried, it was an attack on our own ship by Israel to try to draw us into the war with Egypt, whether it is the War on Terror, which has stripped us of a ton of our rights. I won't get into, I'll do my 9/11 show when it comes to 9/11. The bottom line is just nothing is as it seems, and it seems to work on people constantly. But I wanted to focus. There are things going on in the world right now. We've got warships that are kind of facing off with Chinese warships. And the thing that we need to be worried about is in times of real crisis, particularly financial crises, hot wars happen. This is not just uniquely American. When you've got a populace that is very agitated and you're kind of breaking apart, leaders seem to want to, and I'm not, this is not Donald Trump, I'm not anti-Trump on this, I'm just telling you the history of the world is such that you need that common enemy outside to rally the people around, to get them back on board with the system as it is. And we've got face-offs with China, both diplomatically, economically, and militarily right now. Have the same kinds of things going on with Russia. We've started in intercepting Russian planes flying near Alaska. I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem when we scream bloody murder about Russian jets messing with our planes when we're flying over the Black Sea, right next to Russia. When Russia comes near us, we go after them. Anyway, there's all kinds of geopolitical things that are going on, and my eye is to it because I know that these are the kinds of times where we find ourselves in wars. So we'll keep an eye on that. But right now, it seems to me that the two biggest things that do not make any sense to me on a logical basis are what we're seeing here domestically, and those are the two things, which are coronavirus, the COVID hysteria, and also the Black Lives Matter protest, the abolition of police, the tearing down of statues. And the coronavirus in particular, to start with it, is amazing to me because at this point the hysteria is actually, to me, worse than it was when this thing first got kicked off. And the reason being, we now know something about this disease. I give a little bit of a pass from the top to the bottom of government structures. When you hear about this virus coming and you don't know it, you've never seen it before, you don't know how people are going to react. They're rushing to make ventilators. They're rushing to do this. They're rushing to do that. The Chinese are lying about their counts. It feels like China shut down 700 million of their citizens before this thing got cranked up in the United States. And so I give all of our leaders here some credit for the first month of this thing because we didn't know what it was. But now we know. We know what the deal is. We know that if you're 70 years old, this is something to be concerned about. If you're over 85 years old, it's something you really need to be careful with. But we also know if you're under 70 years old, this is a bug going around. And we know that with college students, which do what college students do, they socialize, we're wagging our finger at them. Yet I believe the possibility of being killed by COVID, if you're a college-age student, is less than if you could be struck by lightning. And so what is the reason for this hysteria? Now, there's a lot of theories out there. A lot of people think this is designed to take down Donald Trump. And I do believe that the media wants the economy to be hurt. They want Trump to be seen as bumbling this thing. Everything that happens in an election year is all about the election, even if it's not really about the election. Even if it's not really about Trump, they'll make it about Trump. They'll make it about Republican governors. They'll make it about whatever they want to do. And the media is notoriously left-leaning and dishonest. But when you throw in also the medical establishment into this thing, I believe there are many, many motives going on about why the hysteria about this thing. And again, look, I've got kids. If the facts change and I find out this thing really is deadly and it really is affecting college kids, I will adjust my patterns. But the science right now is telling us that to younger people, there are people, young people who have died from this. The same way young people die from diseases every single year, as tragic as it is. But as I'm listening to these headlines, Texas Now, again, during the news break, said they are reshutting down the bars. The bars that survived this last round of shutdown, and it wasn't all of them, trust me, a lot of businesses. I'm about to read you some headlines from this, just from yesterday. The places that did survive the first round of lockdowns, many of them will not survive round number two. The cost to us as a society, economically, mentally, is going to be catastrophic. What is the reason for this? We know what the deal is. Yet we still allow politicians to make these wide sweeping proclamations that interrupt millions and millions of people's lives. And I don't understand why we're going along with it. Maybe it's because there's so many people out there that are scared of this thing, refuse to look at the science and instead just listen to the hysteria, that nobody's really standing up to this. Not enough people will say, hey, we get it. We get it. It's a bad disease out there. Tragically, it is going to kill some people. But we'll go about our lives being careful the same way we do when we drive in the rain. When we drive in the rain, we go slower. We turn our headlights on so people can see us because it's not sunny and it's harder to see our... We make all of the precautions and we move about the country with our own best judgment to be more careful on a slippery road than on a dry road. That is what we should be doing now, but that's not what we're doing. We're seeing another wave of lockdowns. Listen to just some of the consequences of this stuff. As if Social Security didn't already have enough challenges ahead, we may now have another. We have now yet another complication. Not surprisingly, it's a ripple effect from COVID-19. Before coronavirus hit the scene, most experts agree that if nothing was done, Social Security would be facing a 21% cut by 2035. As somebody who is 52 years old, that's just about right, right? Social Security is going to run out of money right about the time I'm scheduled to pick it up. With U.S. unemployment now estimated to be north of 20%, Social Security is experiencing something much closer to its worst-case scenario, where its trust fund that provides money to boost the retirement income of millions of Americans will run out of money years sooner. 2035, now years sooner. In fact, according to bipartisan policy, the trust fund that pays retirement benefits may experience drastic depletion 8 years from now. They say our preliminary analysis finds that the disability insurance trust fund's reserves may be depleted during the next presidential term, and the old age and survivors insurance trust fund's reserve may be depleted right around the same time, around the time of the 2028 presidential election. Do you see what we're sacrificing for this disease? A couple of headlines from yesterday. 2 million restaurants worldwide at risk of collapse. Another headline, one-third of New York City hotels could go bankrupt due to COVID-19 riots. That's what the Starwood owner said. And then another headline, these are all from yesterday. Depression-like crisis unfolding with no V-shaped recovery until 2023, UCLA Anderson warns. And these are all headlines before this idea of another shutdown. So the question is, why are we doing this? And I believe I'm going to be asking the question in the upcoming weeks, why are we allowing this? Because I do see these things possibly coming our way. Apparently, Mississippi is now seeing a spike in cases as well. Then we go on to the other domestic issue that's happening right now that does not make any logical sense, is the response to the killing of George Floyd is apparently what is looking like a communist takeover of this country. That is not without some level of design to the people behind it. And I understand the 95% of people out there marching with Black Lives Matter want some justice in the justice system. They want to see an end to some of the police abuses that I think are warranted. And they are being duped into a movement. And I'll play this clip when I come back in just a second of this woman from Venezuela who's trying to warn you about what's coming next from what we're seeing today. Nothing is as it seems. Nothing that the media tells you is pure in motive. They are doing these things for a reason. And I'm not saying, no, here's the thing, is that when people hear things like what I'm saying right now, they think conspiracy theory, there's that nut job, Mike Madison. What does he think? Every single news person is in on this? No, absolutely not. They're stupid. They also know they're grabbing headlines. They're getting clicks. If it bleeds, it leads. The worse the news is, the scarier the news is, the more people engage with it, unfortunately. And so they are just playing the game of mainstream media. They're not leading anything. It's not some nefarious goal of Savannah Guthrie on the NBC Today show to topple the American government and bring in communism. She's in it for the commercial aspects of it and because her bosses tell her to. But there are people at the top, tons of different motives, again, whether it's Black Lives Matter and the communist origins of it, the Marxist origins of it, which are well documented. And again, 95% of the people who support Black Lives Matter don't know that. It's not their fault. They're being duped. Hopefully they will know soon enough and stop before it's too late. But it's also, when it comes to COVID, the medical establishment. And it's not that every single doctor that's warning you about this, it's not every health official is in on some shutdown of the economy to hurt Donald Trump. No, they are having their moment in the sun, and they get attention, and they get grants, and they get funding by making this thing out worse than it is. It's just, we have to be a people now that have some logical, common sense thinking, and unfortunately that's in short supply. Anyway, when we come back, we'll look at the other domestic issue here that is not as it seems, and that's the Black Lives Matter protest, the tearing down of monuments, the erasing of history, and the silencing of any dissenting voices.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So we're looking at, on this False Flag Friday thing, two big events in this country that are not making any logical sense. We are being corralled, tricked, changed. One of my big things about coronavirus is one of the biggest things I see accomplished by coronavirus, the people who are on the top right now are the globalists, are the Wall Street firms, are the companies that have been gorging on debt. And I believe some of that bill was coming due. We saw problems in the markets, the overnight liquidity markets last September. It was barely reported except here because I pay attention to these kinds of things. Everybody thought the economy was just humming along, but I knew it was not. Because the Fed doesn't need to inject tens of billions of dollars per night into the overnight markets if everything's operating smoothly. That was a big, fat warning sign. It's like a tremor before a big earthquake. Then the COVID comes around, and suddenly now bailouts that used to be opposed by the vast number of American people back in 2008, 2009 are happening on steroids, and nobody's paying any attention. Nobody cares. We're doing the equivalent of a TARP bailout about every 3 to 4 weeks right now. Do you remember what happened when they did the first bailouts in 2008? The Tea Party started. Conservatives said, you don't give $700 billion of taxpayer money to bail out Wall Street banks over our dead body. And the Tea Party took to the streets. They're doing that every 3 to 4 weeks now for the past several months. And not a conservative is raising any objection to it. They have been the big beneficiaries of the COVID stuff. When it comes to Black Lives Matter, I'm going to play this clip from a woman who lived through the Chavez rise in Venezuela. And then I'm going to tell you about a conversation I had with my son when we come back for this, because I'm telling you, people, you're screaming at people on social media. You're belittling people on the other side. Calling them libtards, calling them idiots, calling them whatever. That's emboldening them. This is hearts and minds time. This feels like it is getting very serious in this country. If you do not start engaging, I'll just tell you what I told my son yesterday, and he's not some radical leftist, but I am trying to keep him on track. I didn't do it by calling him and his friends who support something. Some of his friends are Bernie Sanders supporters. I don't tell him how stupid his friends are. They don't know anything. They're just stupid kids. I explain to him what's going on, and I tell you what, people better start doing that. Anyway, this is a woman talking about, you know, all of us in America who say, oh, yeah, there's some radicals out there, but it can never happen to us here where we change our system. She lived through the communist socialist revolution in Venezuela.
Why do I even worry about some silly little statues coming down or some silly little street names changing? Why do I care? It's because the last time I didn't care about this, I was a teenager. I have already lived through this thing when I was living in Venezuela. Statues came down. Chavez didn't want that history displayed. And then he changed the street names. Then came the curriculum. Then some movies couldn't be shown on certain TV channels. And so on and so forth. You guys think it can't happen to you? I've heard this so many times. But always be on guard. Never believe something can't happen to you. You need to guard your country and your society or it will be destroyed. We didn't believe it could happen to us. Us Venezuelans, Cubans warned us. And we're like, Venezuela, we know what freedom is like. That's not gonna happen here. Yet it happened. And there's clearly a lot of people wanting to destroy the U.S.
And you know what's interesting to me in the Black Lives Matter thing? You know, I came on air when Bernie Sanders was defeated, primarily when Joe Biden won some heavily black states like South Carolina. And I said on air that day, I said, you know what? We may need to credit the black community for stopping socialism. And that's the kind of ironic thing now is that black people really kind of stood in the gap. They didn't want crazy Bernie Sanders. They actually turned down his socialism at that time, and now it's circled around. And I think the black community is unwittingly and unknowingly actually participating in something like socialism or even communism now in these Black Lives Matter protests, ripping down statues, trying to erase our history, trying to suppress any dissenting voices, trying to shout down anybody who doesn't toe their line. You beat back socialism, and the reason I say this is because it is time, if you are a conservative person on the right or even an independent person that does not want what's coming right now, that does not support the ripping down of statues, you want to move them? Absolutely. Go ahead and do it. Whatever your city or town, I'm a libertarian guy. Control should be as localized as possible. There shouldn't be a national dictate to take down all statues. It's community by community. The smaller the group, the better. Make up your own minds. And if you want to vote something to move it, whatever you want to do, that's up to you. I don't have a problem with those kinds of things. Communities should decide their fates. But it is time for the sane people in this country to start engaging with people on the left that are supporting these things, not screaming at them on Twitter, not calling them names. That's fuel to the fire. And it's also why Trump is weak in this moment. Trump is the wrong man for this moment just because he doesn't know how to reach out and calmly approach the other side. I was thinking about it yesterday. If this happened during Ronald Reagan's time in office, Ronald Reagan was a tough guy. I mean, he was certainly a no-nonsense. You could consider Ronald Reagan a law and order guy. To the extreme, if you ask me, because he really kicked off the war on drugs, which has been a catastrophic, expensive failure that has had its own unintended consequences. But Ronald Reagan was at least somebody who could get up in front of a camera and calmly try to explain his position on something and appeal to calmer, more stable minds. And Donald Trump is too much of a fighter where he wants to go out and crush the opponents. That's not working. It's feeding other people. So I talked to my son yesterday about this. We were just kind of looking at what's going on. He's got some pretty liberal friends. Some of them supported Bernie Sanders, which, again, I don't get mad at young people for supporting things like Bernie Sanders. Young people don't have a context. They've never run a business. They've never paid taxes. There's a whole lot of things they've never done. And it's probably says something about a good heart. They hear people aren't insured. They want everybody insured. They hear there are homeless people. They want everybody to have a home. You know, they hear about racism. They want all the racism stamped out. And they don't have the real-world context for exactly how things like socialism work out. These are teachable moments. And so I explained to my son yesterday, it's not that he was taking up for ripping down statues or anything. I was just saying, you know, when you look at this, you kind of need to know what you're looking at. And he wants to be successful, so I just explained to him what his future would look like under socialism. He's just recently seen the devastating effects of taxation on his paychecks because he's just started working as a teenager. It's a good time for a teachable moment when they get their check and they go, hey, what the hell? You say, yeah, yeah, right? How much do you want to be paying for other people to be dependent on the system coming out of your paycheck? It's a fresh moment where you get them right there and say, this is why taxation is theft. Anyway, I'm just going to wrap this up. I'm running out of time on this. This is a time to me. An operation is being rolled out in this country against us right now. It's being hidden under the cloak of tragic events like the killing of Breonna Taylor, which really was a true tragedy, and the killing of George Floyd. Under the cover of those things, which was the spark, they are igniting this communist movement, and the 95% of the people involved in the movement don't even know about it. It's time to start engaging those people and explaining it to them rather than screaming at them on Twitter, telling them how stupid they are. That does not work. We've been doing that now, and I'm going to finish on this too. I don't believe any of this movement, the Black Lives Matter, the communist, the socialist that we've seen over the past several years that are actually gaining a foothold in the United States, I don't believe any of this was possible without social media. I don't know how many socialists have been in Jackson, Mississippi, but they probably felt pretty lonely for the 30 years preceding social media. But suddenly they found this tribe in remote places, and they got energized, and they fed each other. And they were able to put their message out in deceptive ways. I've been reporting for the last couple of weeks about this, my fatwa against social media. I think it is damaging our mental health. I don't think we can handle it. I think it is causing people to lose their sense of humanity towards other people. It is ripping our society apart. As one of the founders of Facebook said on my show on Wednesday, it is ripping the fabric of society apart. These movements are only possible to the degree that they are happening right now through social media. Calls to action on social media that take disparate groups across our country and unite them and coordinate them. There's nothing we can do about it. I'm not going to be able to shut down social media from my little platform here in the Mike Madison Autonomous Zone, but I'm just telling you, it's just another illustration in my mind of how dangerous social media is for us. But if you do traffic in social media and you find people who are involved in these movements, I believe the time now is to change tact from screaming at them, marginalizing them. You need to start engaging them logically. Understand where that some of them are coming from. The 95% of them who are outraged about the police injustice against George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and other ones, just accept that their anger is legitimate. Accept the fact that there is time for police reform, but at the same time, calmly explaining to them that they are going down a very, very dangerous road. And the results, they will not be happy with. It's pretty easy to explain, but I think it's time for hearts and minds. We'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. We finish up every week on Friday, last half hour of just taking a look back at the lunacy of the last week. There's plenty to go. I've got so much today. I'm during the break shuffling through everything I've got, trying to figure out a good flow for it. There's some good things. Usually this segment has been really about laughing at a lot of – originally this segment was a look back at the lunacy of the left. It's just that the entire world's gone insane at this point, And when you can't really look at COVID in a left-right thing, although it is shaping up to be a little leftist-rightist, but I just kind of look at the craziness of it. There's some good things coming out of some of the things we're seeing that I think we should point out, too. Check this out. You know, there's been quite a pitched battle between the right and the left, the Democrats, the blue states, and the red states on guns rights. Well, if there's any upside to the chaos we're seeing in the streets, it may be the fact that some of the blue states are starting to rethink their stance on the Second Amendment. Over 40,000 Illinois residents applied for a gun permit over a two-week period this month, a jump of more than 500% over this time last year, according to Illinois State Police. A 38-year-old man from Dixon, who didn't want his name used, citing employment reasons, the cancel culture, I'll get to that in just a second, described himself as, quote, a very liberal Democrat, unquote, who for decades has been, quote, for most forms of gun control politically, unquote. But since March, he's been waiting for his first gun permit to arrive so he can keep his family safe, he said. Yeah, you see? He goes on to say, listen to this. And again, I'm trying to find some bright spots for us here, people. The Second Amendment may be a little safer than it was a few weeks ago. I mean, the whole country's having to fall apart to make it happen, but at least we're getting something from it. Here's this, as he describes himself, a very liberal Democrat. This is a quote from him. He said, quote, my views have recently changed, and I have accepted that the Second Amendment provides for the personal ownership and use of a firearm, he said in an email. Quote, the recent social unrest of a he takes a shot as Trump, but still, let's at least say he's coming around the Second Amendment. He says the recent social unrest of a divisive president, the pandemic and the dramatic rise in unemployment, and the more recent social unrest because of the way we police in this country have all been reasons that have prompted my recent application. So this guy, after 30 years, has changed his mind on gun ownership. This is a teachable moment, and this is what I say, you know. This is your time to reach out to the left, not scream at them, but just explain to them, hey, kind of a good time to have a gun, isn't it? Right now, they're talking about disbanding the police. What you going to do? A gun would be nice, wouldn't it? Let's see what else we've got here. I'm going to play this one. This one's kind of serious, but it's just got to be played. I think it should be played constantly because, again, a lot of people are participating in these Black Lives Matter riots without understanding what they're being involved in. This is one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. People say, oh, it's not a communist group. Prove it.
I also think that it might... I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists.
This is one of the founders, and I play it today on the past week because she said this on national news media that she is a trained Marxist leading this group. Oh, let's see what else. Well, let's get into some cancel culture stuff. This is a woman. Her name is Katie Herzog, and she did a show. She is a Seattle freelance journalist, but she did kind of a list of what the cancel culture has done, and this is just, I think, kind of a good example in one spot, and it is certainly not an inclusive list, but just listen to all these people that have been deplatformed.
But there's some, like, accusations of them, of the magazine, like, being a hostile environment for people of color. And this has gone... So this was at Bon Appetit. Over the past few days, an editor from Refinery 29 stepped down. An editor at the Philadelphia Inquirer resigned on Saturday after dozens of staff members walked out because the paper published an article with the headline "Buildings Matter Too," which clearly is a reference to Black Lives Matter in reference to, I guess, like looting and burning of buildings in Philly. So the headline was like so egregious to people that they walked out. The CEO of Second City, the CEO of CrossFit, the sustainable fashion brand Reformation. A woman from the CBC was fired after quoting the N-word in a meeting. So she was like literally quoting someone and she was fired for that. Some like pop culture stars have been fired. A few people were fired from the show Vanderpump Rules, which I've never watched, but apparently is popular. A guy named Hartley Lauer was fired from The Flash. And that was after this woman named Sky Jackson, who I'd never heard of, but she has like 500,000 followers on Twitter, and she wrote a book called Reach for the Sky, How to Inspire and Empower and Clap Back. So this woman has turned her account into like a call out account where people are sending her like incriminating DMs or social media posts or whatever. And she's publicizing them. She, for instance, targeted like a Yale freshman who, when she was 15, used the N-word in like in some sort of meme or social media thing. Yale like responded to this and said they were investigating this student for something she did when she was 15 years old. So this is like, this is really spreading. I think Me Too for microaggressions is a great way to put it. And we're seeing the same sort of apologies, self-flagellation, promises to do better. And I am very curious to see how this is going to spread.
Yeah. And again, social media is behind this. The cancel culture, they're digging through everybody's social media feed. A Yale student, they find something she tweeted when she was 15, some meme. And now she's going to end up having her chance at a Yale degree stripped from her. I'm telling you, social media, when the history books are written, particularly if I write it, are going to be about the demise of the United States based on essentially the cancel culture. Here's another one that is just, it just shows the absolute insanity we're in right now.
The name Sambo's on this restaurant, as we've known it since 1957, is going away on the Santa Barbara waterfront.
You can go to Sambo's day and night. The food is good, the price is right.
Once with over 1,100 sites nationwide, it was a popular chain in 47 states. It was reduced down to this one original location after bad business decisions and the interpretation of the name to be racist.
I understand that it wasn't intentional, right? I'm not saying that Sambo's and the owners were racist. I was saying that the slur is racist.
Rochelle Monet requested the change during this week of strong emotion over racial issues.
Now, of course, you know, people listen to that and say, well, there's no place in society right now for a restaurant that would use such a racist term to call to name their restaurant. Well, until you hear what the restaurant owner says the reason behind the name.
But the backstory on the name comes from Sam Battistone and Newell Beau Bonnet, the founder 63 years ago. The current owner is Sam's grandson, Chad Stevens, who was keeping everything like it was the first day.
It was his name and partner's name, Sam and Beau. Something I respect and continue through, but I understand there's some hurt in that, and we will move forward.
In the last 3 days, the decision was made. The Sambo's lettering would be covered up until a new name is decided upon. This is the first idea, but others are being considered.
We're working on this together. Now it's going to say peace and love. Like, that's like one of the biggest things we need right now is unity.
I mean, I got to tell you, people, I don't know if we're intelligent enough to move on. At this point, I don't. This is, of course, the cancel culture is very one-sided, apparently. There's a story about Cambridge University. Cambridge University reacted to one of its academics tweeting, quote, "White lives don't matter," by ignoring the backlash and promoting her to a full professorship. This is, the controversy began when Dr. Priyamavda Gopal, she's an Indian woman, but an English academic and Churchill fellow, tweeted, quote, "Abolish whiteness," and, quote, "I'll say it again, white lives don't matter." For this, they prompted a launch of a petition to have her fired, which has about 15,000 signatures. However, both the university and media outlets responded by trying to frame a narrative that Gopal was being abused by the hate mob, completely pardoning her for overt racist comments. And listen to some of these tweets she put out. "Abolish whiteness." And then this is the height of hypocrisy right here. This is a woman who goes on and says, "Abolish whiteness. White lives don't matter." She says, after the controversy, she says, "Thanks to everyone who wrote to Twitter." Apparently she got a temporary ban, which of course Twitter lifted for her for saying white lives don't matter and abolish whiteness. She said, "Thanks to everyone who wrote to Twitter, the ludicrous ban has been lifted. I am therefore delighted to share with you personally that last night Cambridge promoted me to full professorship. The hate mails and threats are coming in nonstop, but Cambridge cops are following up. Thank you again, and to all of you, stay strong. We are against a hugely ugly edifice full of sewage and bile. These people elect the likes of Trump and Johnson. We have no choice but to persevere." And then she says a Latin phrase, which I should know as the former head of the president of the Latin club at Murrah High School, but I don't know what it means. She says they are up against a hugely ugly edifice full of sewage and bile. But apparently she does not include her own tweets, which say abolish whiteness and white lives don't matter. This is your cancel culture, and it has gone virulent in this country. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment for the week. You know, we're doing a look back at the lunacy of the last week, and what happens is during the course of the week I see these crazy stories, and so I just clip the link to them, I put them, drop them into a little file so that by Friday I just open them up and start going through them on the show. I need to start giving myself more time. There's just more there's too much weirdness going on right now, and I don't usually end up with enough time for it. There's so much happening. But I want to remind everybody before we finish up, make sure you check out Your Pie this weekend. If you're looking for somewhere to get some good food, either take out or sit down, again, please support your local restaurants and your local businesses that are just getting crushed by this coronavirus stuff. Your Pie did a great job of providing a lot of delivery and takeout during the shutdowns, but they are back open and running. Great quality food, 10-inch brick oven fire pizzas, paninis, salads, pastas. They got beer and wine out there. Great staff, gelato for the kids that they'll love as a dessert. They've got TVs out there. It's just a great facility, really nice place to either take the family, take a date, or just go and hang out with the guys. Or girls. That was sexist. I apologize. Anyway, it's a great place. You'll enjoy the food. If you can't get out there, they are located at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway out in Gluckstadt, right there by Germantown High School. If you can't get out there, you can have their food delivered. Download the Waiter app and search for Your Pie on there. Also, get the Your Pie app. They are sending out constantly. They're doing specials. You can get little freebies with your things, or get extra points to earn free pizzas. There's all kinds of ways to take advantage of that. And I know a lot of people that try Your Pie, they become regulars. If you're a regular at Your Pie, get the app. They will reward you for it. Anyway, that's Your Pie out in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Check them out. Locally owned and veteran owned. It's a good business to support. All right, let's finish up here. Let's see what else we've got. Do you remember the video that Trump tweeted out? It was from that guy, Carpe Dunctum. I forget how you say his last name. Anyway, he's a meme maker. He's a very, very clever guy. He got banned from Twitter, of course, because he did the video of the two. This really great, heartwarming video of a white kid and a black kid running down the sidewalk to each other, and they just have this huge hug. It really is cute. But the other part of that video was then they're just running off to go play at a park or go home or whatever, and the black kid's running in front of the white kid. The white kid's running behind him, and so this guy made it out like CNN was showing a white kid chasing a black kid. It's actually very clever. That's the saddest thing to me about our current state of affairs. Nobody can make a joke anymore. Even if you don't like the humor, even if it gores your side or something, acknowledge good humor. Don't look for it. But apparently we can't do that anymore. In the edited clip, which was tweeted by Trump, Cook, this is the meme maker, mocks CNN, suggesting they would manipulate the video portray the white baby chasing the black one. And while Trump supporters found the clip hilarious, Twitter, Facebook, and now the parents of the said toddlers do not. According to Forbes, the parents are suing both Trump and Cook over the video, claiming it was shared as a, quote, advertisement and political propaganda. without permission or parental consent. Meanwhile, Twitter tagged the video as manipulated media before kicking Cook off the platform for repeated copyright violations. So now the parents are suing. This video, I'd have some sympathy for them if this was some private video that somebody hacked and found and used their children to. This video went completely viral months ago when it was first put out, for good reason. It's a great message, a couple of really cute kids, and it shows that, you know, we twist our kids. Innocent little kids grow up and they find a kid they like to play with. They don't care if they're white, black, green, brown, or blue. They find somebody they get along with and play with. They don't care. It's that we twist them with all of the insanity that's in the adults' brains that mess them up. But anyway, the parents are now suing Trump. Oh, let's see what else we've got here. I have got a couple of clips that I wanted to play just out of sheer funniness. These are not necessarily, well, here we go. We can't leave without doing a Joe Biden clip as he observed Juneteenth last week. This came out after my show last week. Juneteenth is, you know, Emancipation Proclamation, all that stuff. But Joe Biden seems to think there's a different history involved.
He's going down to Texas on Juneteenth, right? The first major massacre, literally speaking, of the Black Wall Street, right?
What?
Years ago. He's going to have a rally.
Joe Biden has no idea what's going on. Seriously, it is, he has got to say a lot less. All right, this I'm just doing because it's kind of funny. It has nothing to do with real lunacy. Don Jr. Had an interview with Donald Trump himself. They did a little thing. I just thought this the question was funny.
So last question. Before you leave office, will you let us know if there's aliens? Because this is the only thing I really want to know. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Will you ever open up Roswell and let us know what's really going on there?
So many people ask me that question.
I know, it sounds almost ridiculous, but it's actually the real question I want to know.
It sounds like a cute question, but it's actually, there are millions and millions of people that want to go there, that want to see it. I won't talk to you about what I know about it, but it's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
But Roswell's a very interesting place with a lot of people that would like to know what's going on.
So you're saying you may declassify? Oh. You'll take it?
Well, I'll have to think about that one, right?
I don't know. It seems like he's laying some breadcrumbs there. Something's going on with Roswell and the aliens. Come on, Trump. It's 2020. At this point, we can handle anything. This is the year to let us know about the alien invasion. We've been through it all. We're becoming a rugged people again. That's all the time I got. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.